Bill Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So an explosion damaged part of the Yale University Law School today, according to Associated Press. A city spokesman said the blast apparently occurred in the mailroom. Now they're saying maybe it didn't. An associate dean at the law school said fire officials told her there were no injuries. Crews are still checking the building. Witnesses reported a loud boom, very smoky. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think it's Al-Qaeda. Want to know why? I don't know why Al-Qaeda would be going after the Yale Law School. Once again, this is some fruit bowl. If it's a bomb at all, it's some domestic, somebody didn't get their, you know, their diploma on time. Meanwhile, Bin Laden and the guys, they're releasing tapes saying that all Muslims should get out of New York, get out of Boston, get out of Washington, deadline today. Yeah, sure. One thing those guys do is release a lot of good tapes. You know what those guys are like, the Al-Qaeda? They're like a really deranged version of the Elks Lodge. They just sit around and make tapes in a cave. They get, like, more desperate with each tape, too, don't they? Blood is going to flow, and everybody's going to die, and you just wait and see. Now they're saying, get out of Boston, get out of New York. These guys talk about tipping your hand. These guys tip their hand so readily, it's unbelievable. They would never, ever, in a million... By the way, the World Series of Poker is starting today, tonight, or this weekend, I think, in Las Vegas. I wouldn't be if I was Al-Qaeda playing in that anytime soon. You guys couldn't keep a straight face for love, money, nothing. And talk about tipping your hand. Better get out of New York and Boston. Oh, I get it. You mean a bomb's going to go off there? These training tapes that they keep showing of Al-Qaeda, by the way, these are not very good propaganda pieces for your organization. It looks like the Boy Scouts. If I were you guys in Al-Qaeda, I'd pull those off the market right away. No more tapes. This looks like some guys playing Army. So they got this new tape, some piece of trash named whatever his name is. He's that second-in-command. He's calling on the Muslims to rise up and kick the Crusaders out. And like I said, they're very gothic guys. They're like some sick Elks Lodge. I bet you they got a special handshake, and they've got salutes, and they have a poker and bowling night. You know the guy that should have been the head of Al-Qaeda was that guy Atta, the guy that did that 9/11 job. That was the guy who had the organizational power and the chutzpah and the balls to pull something off. And he was the guy that got cooked in the plane, along with 3,000 other innocent people. Now, it's too bad for Al-Qaeda, because that's the only guy that seemed like he had his act together and knew what he was doing. The rest of those guys, all they know how to do is make tapes and sit in a cave and drive a car in front of an embassy every now and again. This guy was the most outrageous, just, you know, balls-to-the-wall guy. The only guy they had in that organization that had his act together at all, and he's gone. Those guys, the rest of them look like clods. Sitting in a cave and sending out faxes. That's what they do. And with a no girls allowed door sign on the door. No girls are allowed in.
Can we play with?
No. We're going to bomb America and you can't play.
Mama, come on.
No. We're going to bomb America. Anyway. So put those two together and we've got a nice reason for panic buying today. What would you think? Now, I don't have any information on the Yale bombing because we have no internet access. Our computer is down. I do have the information from Associated Press. I don't think anybody was hurt. I don't think there were any deaths. I also, of course, and you've probably been reminded throughout the day, know that on June 24th, 93, the Unabomber struck Yale University, and a professor there opened up a package that had a nail bomb in it. Boy, that's about as... There aren't too many things in this world more sick, more twisted than a nail bomb. And that's, by the way, what they use in the Middle East, too. The suicide bombers, they put nails, they put screws, they put all kinds of shrapnel. And that seriously injured a professor at Yale. That was in 93. That was the Unabomber. And, of course, we all know that he has his stuff tightly packed, right? That Unabomber, he really had a good plan for the future of this country. All you have to do is take your norepinephrine and strap yourself to a gurney and read it. What the hell was that guy about? Other than living in that tar paper shack, which, excuse me, I don't know anything about living in the wild, and I could have built a better house than that. You know what you do? All you got to do is go see Swiss Family Robinson. Yeah, you know, you take a thing, you lean it against a tree, and then you get the water going down. You remember Swiss Family Robinson? What was that guy? Wasn't he a bookbinder by trade, and they get lost on this island? Next thing you know, they get fresh drinking water, and they have papaya groves that they're planting. That's my dream. Desert island. Some woman that I fantasized about for years, I don't know, and she and I are trapped there, and it's a whole swept away thing. I'm Giancarlo Giannini. I know you've never seen the movie, and the reason why you never saw the movie, by the way, is because Madonna had to make a movie out of it, which kept you away just on principle, I know. But you should see the original. You should see the original Lena Wertmuller's Swept Away. This flick is great. And if you don't know who Giancarlo Giannini is, did you see Hannibal? You remember the Italian detective that had his guts ripped out? That's Giannini. Yeah, there was a time when he actually did good movies and is quite a respected and serious actor. And he did this movie, Swept Away, where he plays a communist cabin boy on a yacht. And there's this, as he said, filthy, sweating capitalist pigs. And one of them is this beautiful blonde, and he has to take her to an island. And they get swept away in a storm. And the next thing you know, the tables are turned. And he is now the lord and master, and she's no longer the capitalist pig who runs the ship. And now he makes her work for him because he knows how to survive. And gradually, he slowly but surely degrades her, and she becomes completely dependent upon him. And there's an amazing scene of sex and depravity where she gives herself over to him. And he really imagines himself to be the man. Now he figures he's the man, right? And they're living and loving and on Ibiza. They're young and in love on Ibiza, you know. So they're living out on this island. And at one point she says she loves him and she asks him to do things to her sexually that she'd never asked her husband to do, etc. And they're just one and it's quite sexy. And then they get rescued. They get rescued and they are returned to the mainland. And waiting there on the dock is her husband. And waiting there on the dock is his wife with his five kids. And as they get back up out of the boat, they walk to their spouses, and she walks right away with her husband, says goodbye to this guy who she'd been on the island with that he thought was totally his sex slave, and she just walks away, and he stands there staring at her, and then he looks at his fat, dumpy wife with the five kids and realizes that it was all just a stupid fantasy, and he's always just going to be a schmucky cabin boy, regardless of his politics. Dig that, huh? So, now that I've given the movie away, you don't have to go see it. Sorry, Lena. Anyway, I say that to say what? Oh, yeah. How do you build yourself a little lean-to shack like Ted Kaczynski? Just go see Swiss Family Robinson. How the hell do I tie in bestiality on the beach with Swiss Family Robinson and Ted Kaczynski? Only on this show. Only on a Phil Henry show. All right. So, how are we doing on our internet access? Any news? As I said, we had a report of a bomb going off at Yale University, and I know that in many places around the country, you do carry us tape delayed, so you may already know this stuff, so just forgive me if I bring myself up to date. As far as we know, there hasn't been any injury, and the other thing is that there, it doesn't appear to be some terrorist organization. It could be some screwball. But an organized terror effort, I don't know. All right, we'll take a break here. I'll give our number, and I'd also like to direct you to our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, and you can pick up some souvenirs there. I really would recommend you get the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt or the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police travel mug, the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police jacket, either black or blue, and the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police ball cap. You know what else we have? If you go to the Ted's of Beverly Hills page, look at the bowling shirt, and guess what else we got? The Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glass. It comes in a package of four, $12.95. You can't beat it. Father's Day right around the corner. Why shop anywhere else? The Phil Henry Show website. That's www.philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Also, if you go to our website, please pick up a copy of the Best Of CD. You can pick it up and throw it away for all I care, but the money goes to my friend's place. It's a resource center for homeless and throwaway kids in Hollywood. When you ask, well, what is a throwaway kid as opposed to a runaway kid? The fact is, in most cases, there are truly no runaways so much as kids that are just thrown away. Most of these kids that are living out in the street here don't have an opportunity to go back home. Their parents wouldn't take them back if they were gold-plated. And they try to put in a phone call to their house, and generally they're hung up on. See, you see a kid living out in the street, you think that kid ran away? His folks couldn't care less whether he's dead or alive. So that's why we call them throwaway kids. They're living out on the street. And my friend's place is this joint all the way at the end of Hollywood Boulevard. You know where you watch the Academy Awards? That's at the other end of Hollywood Boulevard. That's the cool, you know, tourist-friendly end of Hollywood Boulevard. But go all the way down toward East Hollywood, right down near the freeway, and there's a little building, and it's right in the middle of an area where there's a lot of homeless folks, and it's, you know, decidedly different from Grauman's, or, excuse me, Man's Chinese. And it's one of these places that helps the kids. They can go in, maybe get a shower, get a little medical attention. They can get a computer. They can access job resources. They can find out information. They can use a phone if they'd like to. If the kids prove themselves worthy, there's a second level to the place where they can go up and actually get some job training. But they want to make sure that they're really serious about turning their lives around. Anyway, that's where the money goes. I really appreciate it. Buy yourself a CD. Our best of CD this year is called World Famous. There's two CDs. It's only $20, and the money does go to my friend's place, and they are great guys. I mean, all the bread. None of it comes to us. Now, Margaret Gray is going to be on the show later on to talk about American Idol. Don't miss it. Margaret Gray, nationally syndicated columnist, will be on the show to talk about American Idol. You remember when I came in today, though, Janice, talking about the out-of-state plates? Should I get that off my chest now? It's no big thing. I want to mention American Idol because I know everybody is just gaga. Everybody can't get home fast enough. So we'll talk all about it. But I got to tell you this. I grew up in Los Angeles. The only reason why I bring that up is because it's the only reason why I'm here. If I didn't grow up here, I wouldn't be here. But I have a particular affection for this place because there's so many places here that remind me of a very happy time in my life, my youth. And you know I broadcast from here. I'm not about to make a secret out of it. There's no way that I can. It's relevant at times when we talk about things. But I'm not on the air here talking about how we're live in Hollywood or any of that. We do broadcast from L.A., and I do work here. And because I am from here, there's some things that I've been exposed to. And there's some things that I've been indoctrinated into, ways of thinking. And it's a prejudice. It's a prejudice. It comes out when I'm driving. Now, when I was a kid, and I'd be driving around with my folks, they would make cracks about certain people. Certain people who maybe are not like you and me. Or maybe they are. But they weren't like me and my family. Certain people who are, you know, different. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. Yes, you're right. People with out-of-state plates. Now, let me tell you something. One of the things that happens in California, you get your nose up your rear end and you think you know how life is and you know how to drive the freeways. And I grew up driving these freeways and they're very frightening. It's a very frightening and daunting prospect driving a freeway in this town. It really is. Some of them are six lanes wide. You got to go from lane number one right over six lanes to get your cut off because most people are too stupid to figure that maybe a half a mile to a mile back I had to start slipping over into the final lane. So you got Charlie over here, and he said, oh, there it is, the 405. Well, let me make that turn right now. And it doesn't matter if he's in front of you. What does he care? Generally, that guy has an out-of-state plate. Now, here's what I mean. I'm growing up, my mom, you know, oh, look at that, Arkansas, land of opportunity. Really? Well, then why don't you go back? This is the kind of thing we used to hear. So today I'm driving to work, and I'm going down the 101 of the 405. I'm going to get off on Ventura Boulevard, and I'm trying to get over, because I do. I try to get over from the number one, the fast lane, all the way over to my turn lights. I can't get over. What the hell is this? What's the holdup? What is the holdup? I got my signal on, but everybody's kind of backing up with me, and I'm doing the one thing I hate to do, and that's brake. I want to make that little merge motion seamlessly and gliding in. I don't want to brake. It's just a matter of principle. Well, I got a break, and sure enough, right up there, clutching the wheel at 10 and 2, holding on to that thing like she's holding on to her life savings, is some woman in a green truck
with New Mexico plates.
Dun, dun, dun. And I found myself bringing up all the old, New Mexico, huh? Why don't you go back to New Mexico? Yeah, New Mexico. Well, what's the matter, man? The Adobe burned down over there or something? Yeah, that's right. The hell out of here, New Mexico. I'm trying to get over here. What is it with you, huh? New Mexico? What is that, New Mexico? What is Albuquerque anyway, man? Is that the capital? I always blew that in school. And it happens from time to time. You'd be driving along, there'd be a guy in his shades, in his, oh, I don't know, it'd be like a 1991 Honda or something, and he's got the shades, and he's looking all over the place, and sure enough, right there in the back,
Pennsylvania.
Right there on the back of the, and come on, Charlie. Now, I'll tell you something. Like I said, freeways are tough. I heard of a guy, when I was in Central Florida, I was starting my radio career in Orlando back in the early 70s, got to know some guys who worked in TV down there. One of the guys said, where are you from? I said, from Los Angeles. He said, I know a guy that went out there, Fred something. He was a news anchor in Orlando, and he never could get off the freeway. He drove out, and he got caught in that thing you guys have out there. What is that? I said, the thing? Yeah, he got caught. He never could get off. You mean the freeway system? Yeah, that's it. He couldn't get off, so he just turned around and came back. Fred Brewer, I think, was the guy's name. He was an anchor. And Fred, if you're out there and the story isn't true, please don't call. So he drives out here, and he doesn't know. It's so crowded, and there's so many cars, he can't get off. He just won't get off the... I don't know where to get... Just get off anywhere, man. I can't. I'm turning around and going back. Well, to turn around, you got to get off. I'm going to go all the way to San Luis Obispo, then I'll turn around up there and then come all the way back. I can't... Where do I get off? I just sit to any street. Try this one. I don't know. How do I get over? It's just put your signal on and go. I can't. There's too many cars. Screw it. I'm going back to Orlando. And that's what he did. So there's honestly some people that cannot drive this thing out here. It's a monstrosity. It's scary sometimes the way I drive it with one hand on the wheel and just. Hey, give me some of those Cracker Jacks, will you? And as some people, just don't get on the freeway. Just don't get on the freeway. And there I am driving along behind the big Winnebago, and the guy's got the big Winnebago. He's got the boat that he's carrying behind the Winnebago, and he's got the
British Columbia
license plate. There he is. He's up there king salmon fishing, man. He's going to come down here to the Salton Sea, do a little water skiing. Woo-hoo! And he's got the boat in the fast lane, right? And those are the cats that always love to lean on that horn. They love that big thing, the Winnebago. You know, that. And everything in between. So the moral of the story is, you're right. If you think the freeway system out here is scary, you're right it is. And if you think you can get killed on it, you're right. My advice, stay home. I'm not like one of them people in Oregon, okay? Come on out, have a ball, all right? But stay at a Super 8 out in San Bernardino, and then take a bus in. That's all I'm saying. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Margaret Gray is with us later on. She will be talking about American Idol. She'll be covering the American Idol event tonight. Big, big news on that. We're also going to be talking about the French, Jason Blair. You know who this piece of crap is? He's that guy from the New York Times. Nobody reads the New York Times. Join the club, neither do I. But apparently it's big news to the people that read newspapers. So in other words, it's big news to about 300 people. And we'll be talking about it here, like everybody else in talk radio. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, did you see this one? Nicole Kidman smoked a cigarette. Oh, no, not that. Now the anti-smoking lobby in America which is one of the most really curious organizations on record, the anti-smoking lobby. These people, remember yesterday I was talking about that organization of whoever the hell they are, perverts that look into the sex lives of 12-year-olds to find out why they're having premarital sex? Well, the same can be said for the anti-smoking lobby in America, the biggest collection of pervs, sickos, and twisted bastards who want to sniff your daughter's underwear to find out if she's been smoking. And I think the time has finally arrived where we need to say it. You're sick, you're twisted, and you need help. Nicole Kidman had a cigarette shoved in her face, among the many things she's had there from time to time, and all of a sudden, the anti-smoking people are saying that she's sending the wrong message to women. Because women are so stupid, so utterly clueless, and so without any ability to judge for themselves, that when Nicole Kidman, one of the world's great brain surgeons, lights a cigarette, every woman on the planet Earth, from the most brilliant to the most menial, will take that as a clear indication that smoking is fine, and they'll all light up, risking lung cancer, breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, and everything else. That's what the anti-smoking lobby thinks. They're nothing but a bunch of SS, Gestapo, concentration camp guards who want to work the inmates to death. And now for something lighter. No, will you stop already? If I said it the other day, I'm going to say it again. If I ever again am enjoying a cigarette somewhere, which I do enjoy from time to time, I said, and somebody walks over to me and says, or makes any comment regarding my personal habit, when I'm not polluting his airspace, I am not going to have any discussion with him at all. I am going to push his front teeth right down into his... I'm going to clock the guy, and I'll wait for the police with my hands behind my back waiting for the handcuffs. That's what I think we should all do. Now, am I counseling violence? Well, you just sort of decide for yourself. Even if it's a little kid, Chris Pelton just asked me, even if it's a little kid, yes. If an 8-year-old comes up to me and says, "Hey, mister, you shouldn't smoke," I'll pick him up by the back of his shirt and by his pants, walk over to the nearest flood control channel and say, "Oops, another kid drowns in the rainy season," and throw him in. If a child with the American Lung Cancer Society is out collecting, comes over to me and says, "My mommy says that smoking's bad and you're polluting the airspace." You ever seen Jan Stenerud of the Kansas City Chiefs? He was one of my favorites. He was a great kicker, soccer-style kicker, one of the top scorers in the history of the NFL. Jan would do the typical Agajanian, two steps back, two steps over. I would do that. I'd size her up like it's a 53-yard field goal, and I'd step into her, good rhythm, good placement. As the clock run out, I guarantee it'd be 3 points, and the goalpost would be a freeway overpass. And you want to know something else? It'll be a barefoot kick. Like my main man, Mike Langford, with the old L.A. Rams, barefoot kicker. And now they got this Kidman woman who, you can leave her alone, okay? She's a good-looking woman that smokes. How often do you find that anymore? Most of the women that smoke these days have got the wrinkled-up, pruned-up face because they've been doing this so long. Or maybe it's something else, but if it is, man, has he got problems. Now, just give it a rest, okay? Because you guys are verging on intrusive, and you're insulting, and there's going to be violence. I'm not kidding you. There's going to be violence if you keep sticking your nose into people's personal business, personal habits, and personal lives. Don't you ever open your big fat mouth telling people, "Oh, smoking?" Don't do it, because somebody out there is finally going to clock you. And I ain't kidding either. Not going to be my fault. I'm just telling you what I would do. And I know there's a lot of other people out there do the same thing. If she wants to smoke a cigarette, she's going to smoke a cigarette. Now, you can keep the kids from smoking if you want. If you don't, that's your problem. My kids don't smoke. You want to know why? They can't stand the habit. And they're always giving me the old, "You're going to die, you're going to die, yai." You know, every time they see me with, "I'm sorry, I'm just having this one." "Yeah, why do you do it?" They're hassling me morning, noon, and night. Why? Because they care. But assuming that you have some right to comment on my personal habit, and like I said, even if it's your kid, if it's your 4-year-old kid, I'll throw her right under the wheels of a passing UPS truck. Just,
you shouldn't smoke, because my mommy...
Uh-oh. Just as that UPS... Just as Big Brown comes round the corner... Have you tried Brown? Well, it's ground round now. You know, it's funny how a kid can just go from cute to state of shock.
You're going to die if you smoke that.
Holy God. Just hear the wheels, just like a speed bump. Hey, what was that, Bob? Did we hit something? I don't know. Jesus. All right, let's on to the next job here. I got to drop this off at the fish and chips place. And don't tell me about the health insurance thing. Get off of that kick. Get way. I got my own health insurance. And don't tell me that your health insurance goes up because of my health maladies. You want to know something? That's one of the biggest cons and canards the insurance business has ever foisted. And people pull that one out every time they want to say, well, it's costing me money. I ain't costing you any money. You know what? You're costing me money. You're costing me money. I'm paying taxes through the nose every pack of cigarettes that I buy to solve every problem the rest of you guys have got. Gambling addiction. We need money for schools. We want to get this done and that done and something else done. They got to tax the cigarettes through the roof. $6 a pack, $7 a pack. What the hell are you going to do when everybody quits? I know, we can tax cigarettes. Let's tax cigarettes because the smokers, they're garbage. Not only can we tax them and they can't do anything about it, but on top of that, we can say what we think of them anytime we want, whether we know them or not. Well, guess what? Today's the day. Mark the date on your calendar. May 21st. We're drawing the line in the sand. Anybody comes up to me and says they don't like me smoking, I'm going to reel back. I got a pair of steel-plated boots, and I'll put them on. They're the real nice stormtrooper type. It's the one that go right up the half-calf. I'll put them on. Somebody says that to me, and you're going to get a crotch full of boot. I'll give you a fair warning. Get away from me. You'll hear that before the boot hits.
Oh, you know, smoking's going to kill you.
Get away from me.
What?
You want to know the people that smoke? Nicole Kidman smokes, Meryl Streep smokes, everybody that I've ever seen. Any time I ever did some lousy TV show where there's a big star there or something, they smoke. I've seen them all smoke. All the big names that you love and you can't live without. I bet you that fat Ruben smokes. Oh, come on, you telling me he don't smoke? Look at the size of that guy. He eats cheeseburgers, he eats pastrami on rye, he's got the melted Swiss cheese sandwich. You better believe he smokes and drinks beer. I bet you that guy, huh? He drinks kegs of beer. He got that lady in Chicago to buy it for him. Christine Neal, Mrs. Neal. She bought 3 kegs for the girls and another 6 kegs for Reuben. 3 kegs for the girls, another 3 kegs for Reuben there. So this is the day. Mark it down in your calendar. You can sew it into a doily. You can draw it on the street in chalk if you'd like. You can tattoo it on your left buttock. May 21st, 2003. The day the anti-smoking lobby shut up and minded its own business. And if you guys got to come up with an argument about cigarette smoking, you better come up with something stronger than the American women are so stupid that Nicole Kidman's telling them what to do. You got to come up with something better than that, because all you're doing, you're insulting people. Just please, take it from me. I'm on your side on this thing. I'm telling you, every woman that I heard today, she read the story, they took it the same way. Oh, I guess the anti-smoking people think we're morons. Now, Janice told me, my producer, she's going to start smoking because of you. What do you think of that? My producer, Janice Ungaro, who is a tough, hard body of a little girl. She's a BC lion, lioness. And, you know, she's out working out at the gym every day. Guess what she's going to start doing because of these guys? She's going to start smoking Swisher Sweets and inhaling because of the anti-smoking lobby. You Nazi perverts. And if I ever find you sticking your nose into my laundry hamper, sniffing the underwear in there to see who smokes in my family, I'm going to close that hamper lid on your big fat nose. But because of you, my producer, who usually runs 20 miles a day, is going to start smoking and inhaling white owls. That's a nice comment, man. That's a good job. Good job. Good job, baby. All right. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray on our show today talking about American Idol. We also have, I want to talk about that guy who's been charged with being a war criminal, some British officer who hit somebody with a pistol, and they probably deserved it. Also, we've got more on Annika Sorenstam. How much is the average affair costing you? If you're out screwing around on your wife, you piece of crap, guess how much it's costing you? You'd be shocked to find out. I don't believe it, but you'll be shocked to find out. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show,
1-800-449-8686. And now more. On the Phil Hendry Show.
Here we got Margaret Gray coming up with her comments on American Idol. Jay Santos with a flashback coming up. This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, thanks for the time. I'm driving home. I just heard you for about the last 15 minutes going off on people who make comments about smokers, and I kind of took issue with it simply because when you go out and enjoy a cigarette, everyone else is affected by it as well, so why shouldn't we say
something? Wait a minute. I'm talking about leaning against a tree and 30 yards away, someone's walking by commenting on my cigarette habit.
Oh, that's a totally different thing. I'm saying.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
In a restaurant, walking down the street.
No, what restaurant allows you to smoke? What restaurant allows you to smoke? And walking down a street? Too bad. Too bad.
Hey, that's my point. Too bad. Too bad. That's
you know something? It's my personal. No, it is not affecting you. And as a matter of fact,
sir,
the fact is that secondhand smoke. They are finding out more and more is not as damaging as it used to be.
Oh, that's
if I'm walking down the street, okay,
damaging.
Doctor. All right,
they're
doctor.
They're finding this more damaging, not
no,
less
no.
damaging.
Well, apparently you hadn't read the newspaper the last 48 hours because it's completely the opposite. If I'm walking down the street having a cigarette, you better believe it. Don't get into my grill about my personal habit. If I'm standing 30 yards away and having a cigarette, I've had people comment I've never even met on my personal habits.
When you're walking down the street, you blow smoke in my face.
I'm not blowing smoke in your face.
I will get in your grill. If I have to breathe
no,
that,
you're not.
I will get in
well,
your
then,
grill.
Brother, you got. There's a new day dawning, man. I'm not going to take that crap. Why should
I? Hey, and neither am I. Neither am I. I'm not going to put up with smoke if I don't have to. I will get in your grill.
Well, you know, it's been nice knowing you.
All right.
Seriously, man. I'm not going to. I'm sick and tired of having a personal habit that people who I don't even know walk up to me and make personal comments to me. I'm not blowing smoke in your face. I'm inhaling the smoke. I'm exhaling the smoke. And that little puff
of
smoke.
And other people have to breathe it. That's my point.
Hey,
other
guess what, pal? You're breathing polluted air. How many times do you get in your car for an unnecessary trip? I got to breathe that exhaust from your car because you went down to the corner to buy yourself a lottery ticket.
Hey,
I gotta go, Matt. You're a good guy. Phil Hendry Show. Here's Jay from yesterday's show.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
This guy is a moron. Is he a police officer?
Sir, I'm a citizens auxiliary police. We're a volunteer police agency, but we are fully.
You don't know what the heck you're talking about. I got relatives on the police force. Not one of them would do something like that.
No, but well. I think yeah.
They got more brains than that.
If I've got reason to believe that a felony is being committed, I can go. I can open the door meter, blow that horn.
If a felony is being committed, but there's no felony, to get in my property, you got to go about 900 feet to get to my front door. And I see you coming up that door, and I see you open that front door without me giving you permission. I'm just like that lady did. You're going right out that door with 12 gauge shotgun, or 357.
Well, sir, hold on just a second. You'd be going
no,
to jail.
No, for a second, you're a moron.
Because you'd be shooting me, I'd be outside your house. So that's a tech.
You think I can care less like that? You threatening me and my family? You think I care who you are?
Sir, I'm not threatening you. All I'm doing is blowing a horn in your house.
You're threatening the people here. You're threatening the people. You don't
that's right.
That
you said that you were going to take the gun away from that lady.
Well, all I got is an air horn. She's got a shotgun in my face. These people are crazy. They want Al-Qaeda to come around here and blow them all up. And
no,
I'm trying
no,
to warn
no,
them
I
all
mean,
about Al-Qaeda.
I take that back.
You know
I
what?
That means Al-Qaeda, wait a minute, now shut up. If Al-Qaeda comes in my door, Al-Qaeda, well, I'm going to open the door and let them come in because they might blow an air horn at me. I'm just going to let them come in the house and slit my throat, my wife's throat, my kid's throat. You've got to be kidding.
I don't understand that, sir. In other words, you're going to kill a guy with an air horn.
That's what you're saying.
No, what you just said was you'd kill a guy with an air horn, but you'd let Al-Qaeda slit your throat.
If he came in my house, you better believe that. If he came and broke in my door, you better believe.
You'd let him slit your throat.
You've got to be kidding.
That's what you just said.
I do the same thing to him. I do it to you if you open that door. So I wouldn't know whether you're Al-Qaeda or whether you're a police officer.
You know what? Sir,
you said out there, show me your badge. I'm a police officer. I'm going to blow a horn. Okay, do it.
There you go.
But you show me your badge first before you open that door.
Well, that's just it. I wear a distinctive blue armband.
I don't care what you wear on your arm. I can wear a blue armband on my arm.
Can I ask you just a question? Are you an auctioneer?
I'm not an auctioneer, but I was an ex-Marine Corps. And I'll tell you what, I know how to fight. I know how to push you guys over somebody. I know how to shoot.
I don't know any guy,
any brains at all would do something like you're doing.
I'm armed with an air horn and a billy club, and it's not like I'm parking a tank on your front lawn.
But you're breaking into my front door.
Breaking in? I open the door up, and all I say is, orange alert.
You said you slipped the screen. You said you cut that screen.
Well, I would. If you kept me out, yes, I would have to slip the screen and then enter.
That's right. When you do that, that's when you're going out that door with a 12-gauge horn in your body.
With a what?
With a 12-gauge shotgun hole right through your body.
Now, wait a second.
You cut my screen. You cut my screen. You're breaking into my house.
Well, sir, I can tell you this. That air horn could save you from being blowed up.
What's that going to save me from? How are you going to save me from... I'm going to blow air horn on my neighbors here. Hey, orange alert. I know it's orange alert the last 2 days.
All right, sir, then that means if you approach me, I will have to push you backwards over one of our members' knees.
That would be fine, but he's got to get in my house first.
Whatever.
That's great.
I'll open my door and let one of your fellow officers come in and get behind me, get on his hands and knees, then you can push me over him. That would be a good smart thing. I'd let the Al-Qaeda do that too, wouldn't I?
Sir, the way you're talking right now, I'm afraid that you would let Al-Qaeda do the three-step takedown on you, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I would.
And then we would hog-tie you. And then...
That's right.
We can fit in.
All right, look, I think you made a very good point here, Gilbert, that Mr. Santos refuses to...
Now, wait a minute, Mr. I've heard everything he said.
You refuse to hear the man's point, which is you cut a hole in a man's screen, you stick your arm into his house, you're breaking into his house. And I don't care...
Look, we've got to get the message out. I wear a distinctive blue armband with a white pith helmet. We wear a distinctive Bermuda shorts. We are very well recognized...
Oh, yeah.
Sir, can I ask you something right now? And I need to ask you, are you hopped up on pot or are you hopped up on some pot?
No,
are you hopped up on pot? Because it sounds like you're hopped up. You sound like you're hopped up on pot.
All right, look.
But you are.
No, sir, it sounds to me like you're hopped up on some kind of pot or some kind of a different kind of pot or something.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Citizens on their plate.
Margaret Gray coming up next on The Phil Henry Show. Her comments on American Idol, I think you're going to find very, very unusual. Phil Henry Show.
Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly authorized organization swings into action.
Tonight, the American Idol, of course, on the air, and one of the few among the individuals allowed backstage in the press will be Margaret Gray. She's with the Nidley Syndicate in Los Angeles. Margaret's on the line with us in the newsroom right now, right, Margaret?
Right now, Phil, just filing a couple of late stories, yeah.
Well, American Idol tonight is going to be a special show in a lot of different ways because, obviously, this is the second season for a hugely, hugely popular TV show. What are you looking for beyond the Will Rubin win or the skinny white guy? What's that cat's name?
His name's Clay Feldis, but I don't think he minds skinny white guy at this point. I think it's been an exciting time for all of them.
Well, I didn't mean any disrespect, but what are we looking for beyond the excitement about who is going to win?
Phil, tonight we are going to see a dream come true, and I hesitate to come on your program because I've got an angle on this that I really think is interesting. Not all the girls in America will have this opportunity, but some girl in Los Angeles will also have a very lucky night. I think tonight, more than anything, represents a wonderful opportunity for a young woman. And here's why I say that. any young woman who wants to make someone happy and who wants to break out on her own and have the things that she's never had come true, tonight's the night, Phil. And the American Idol will be crowned, and you know and I know it's going to be Ruben.
You really think so, huh?
I really do. He's got an unbelievable voice. I really think it's going to be Ruben. And tonight, some young woman in your audience, or some young woman in America, can be on his arm. Now, I know that doesn't sound appealing to young women listening to you, because Ruben is not the greatest looking guy in the world, but I want the gals to consider something. Here is a man who is overweight, he dresses badly, he is not terribly attractive, he's really the kind of man that you wouldn't give a second thought to. But here is a man that can sing, and yet he couldn't climb three stairs without sitting down. The man is really a sweating mess, but he's never really been with a cute girl before. He's been taunted. He's been kicked.
All right, you're saying that Ruben, if I'm getting you correctly, are you saying that Ruben has the opportunity to have a young woman this evening, as well as the riches that will be bestowed upon him?
I'm saying, more to the point, Phil, that a young woman out there will have the opportunity to be on his arm. Again, here is a big, fat man who's never been with a beautiful girl. He's been taunted. He's been kicked. There's a young woman out there who can give this man love and affection and support, and maybe for the first time in his life, feel passion. And let me tell you something. If I were 30 years younger and I wasn't married, I'd be at the stage door of the Kodak Theater right now.
All right, this is an interesting take. Ruben is one of the two. The other is Clay. Clay's not that hot looking either, is he?
No, but he doesn't have the one thing that really spells in our society, and it is unfortunate, but he doesn't have the one thing that spells ugly, and that is fat. Ruben is fat, and because he's fat, I can assure you, he's probably never had the intimate company of a young lady. Tonight, Phil, could be different, and I think there's a woman out there who could make it different, and were I 30 years younger, let me tell you what I would do. I would step right up in front outside the Kodak Theater in a pair of open-toe heels, a tight leopard skin skirt, a sexy French bustier. I would do everything I could to get this man to notice me, to show him that he isn't alone and that I would love him. And you know something, Phil? I wouldn't ordinarily ever counsel this. But that man looks so love-starved that if he let me in the limo with him, I would allow him to take me in every conceivable way that has ever been imagined, repeatedly. Because you know what? That's what he needs. And I would be his lady. I really would. I think a young woman out there can do that.
We're talking to Margaret Gray with the Nidley Syndicate. She is one of the few reporters that will be on hand tonight backstage. You're saying you feel Ruben is going to win, and that this is an opportunity for a young woman to be outside the Kodak Theater to catch his eye.
Absolutely. And to give that man something I don't think he's ever had. Love. Because he's big, he's fat. I don't think he's ever been with a girl that's really cute.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. 1-800-449-8686. So what if he's never been with a girl that's cute? What's the point in all of this? I mean,
well, Phil, the point in all of this,
I mean, you're talking about a man who has the opportunity of winning a lot of money. He could have his pick of women.
That's not what this is all about at all, Phil. This is about love. Yes, it is about money, but it's about money for Ruben, but it's about love. When a big fat man walks out of a theater, I don't care how much money he has, a lot of women wouldn't give him a second look. But I think some young lady tonight can do that.
Look, you're talking about a young guy who's going to be flush. He's going to have a lot of money. He's going to be invited to all the parties, invited to every award show. How do you respond to anybody who thinks that there's going to be a woman out there who's gold digging?
You know, let me tell you something, Phil. I think that's the way small minds think. You know.
Yeah, but you're talking about stiletto heels, a tight skirt.
Yes, I am, and I'm also talking about giving of myself in an almost animal way. You don't do that for money. Yes, you're right. Okay. Any young woman that Ruben picks will be sharing in his newfound wealth. All right. You got me. You want to go down that road? All right. Whatever happened to love? And if you want to talk about the money, here is a young man who doesn't look like he knows how to handle money. It looks like every nickel he's ever made has literally gone into food. And I don't mean to be cruel, Phil.
Well, you keep saying that because he's fat, he's ugly. You keep saying...
I'm not saying that he's ugly. I'm saying that the man is overweight, yes.
All right.
And he's ever made in his life the acquaintance of a young woman with for love, I'd be amazed. Looking around at the heartache that has made his soul a mess, I think he needs a young lady. And if he wants to buy her a gift, why not?
So tonight, Reuben winning is about some young woman having the opportunity to make him happy.
Absolutely. For the first time in his life, he'll have the money and the prestige to interest a young lady enough whereby it won't matter if he's overweight. See, that's the wonderful thing about this. Reuben winning tonight will mean finally that his weight doesn't matter. And I think that's wonderful because he'll finally get a cute girl, I think, that he can really enjoy.
All right, Margaret Gray with us. 1-800-449-8686 is our number on the Phil Henry Show. We're talking to her about Reuben. I don't even know this guy's last name. I don't know Clay's last name for all that matter. But these are the two guys that are in the finals of the American Idol competition. Reuben is a large, fat guy, I guess, and he is favored to win. Margaret, however, is saying that the big opportunity here isn't with so much Reuben winning. It's with a young woman meeting his acquaintance or making his acquaintance and becoming friends of his, and I got friends with him. And I got to tell you, it sounds, even though you say it isn't about gold digging, Margaret, it sounds like it's about gold digging.
Phil, I have said this is about making Reuben happy. It's about making him happy.
What about making him happy before he won the competition, before he had a lot of money?
Look it, Phil, you're splitting hairs. He's going to be the winner on American Idol. It won't matter anymore that he's overweight.
Well, why did it matter before that he was overweight?
Because...
Why did it matter before that he's overweight, and now that he will win the American Idol competition, his weight won't matter because he'll have money and he'll have prestige?
It didn't matter then, but it's less of a concern now for any young woman who wants to be on the arm of a man who needs love.
It's nice that he has money.
I didn't say that. I said it's nice for her to be able to help him manage his money.
So this is about helping him manage his career and money?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. If you're a young woman, do you think this is a great opportunity for you to meet a guy who may have money and some prestige, maybe some wealth? 1-800-449-8686. If you're Reuben, is this a great opportunity for him to finally meet a cute girl? Because being a fat man, he never really had the opportunity before. If he wins the competition, it won't matter that he's fat. Now, those are the words of my guest, Margaret Gray. I mean, as far as she's concerned, he has to have a pretty woman on his arm to continue his success. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Kittens are tasty.
But really, I'm
back.
All right, we're back. Go ahead, Margaret. We're on with Margaret Gray.
I was going to say, Phil, I'm very excited for Reuben because finally in his life, when he wins the American Idol competition tonight, he will be with cute girls and beautiful women, and finally he will have elevated himself, I think, to the point where he can attract a cute girl. Because
I just don't see the point. If the man is an attractive guy, the man's an attractive guy, whether he has a TV show, a singing career, or not.
Then I totally agree.
All right, then why are you saying tonight's a great night, he'll meet a cute girl?
Because he won't just be a fat man anymore. He'll be a fat man who...
A fat man who has money.
No, I did not say that.
Well, then what do you mean?
If you'd let me finish, please. He would be a fat man who is interesting beyond just being a threat to our health insurance system and our emergency room system.
So if people look at Ruben, they think the guy's a... Okay, 1-800-449-8686.
Look, Phil, this goes beyond... It's an exciting day when a man who looks like Ruben can finally get the chance to touch and feel a woman for the first time. I think that's great.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray feels that Ruben, one of the two contestants tonight, will win on American Idol, and he'll finally have enough prestige, I guess.
I didn't say that, Phil.
Well, you're saying something. He's finally going to have enough something to have a chick look at him twice. Here is Anna. Go ahead, Anna. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to know what rock this woman crawled out from under.
I beg your pardon?
Well, I'm sorry.
That's a little harsh.
Ruben is a handsome guy. He's got a lot going for him.
Okay.
And whether he has money or not has nothing to do with it, because a real woman could not lay down next to a man for the rest of her life just because of how much money he has in his pocket.
Darling, you would not be able to lay down next to him.
He has a lot more
to offer. Floor next to the bed because he's that big.
All right, now are we going to do fat jokes?
I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's... How rude are you?
Yeah, you're
how vain are you?
No, you
I mean, Ruben has a lot to offer. Listen to his voice. He's a beautiful singer. That's a big attribute right there, regardless of if he makes money off of it or not. He could sing me a love song.
Anna, I could show you a restaurant right over here in Coalinga where the waiters sing. You want to go in there and listen to a man sing, you can go in there. Does that mean you want to marry him? Absolutely
well,
not.
I would rather marry a man that I love than a man that's got a pocket full of money and a bad attitude.
Well, who says he has a bad... I think he's charming. I really do.
He is. But that's my point. With or without money, he is charming.
But
and
I think...
You are saying that just because he is an overweight person, he won't meet a nice woman that likes him for the person that he is.
I think...
What woman is he going to meet now? A fake woman that's only after him for his money? What does he want with her?
What I'm saying
that's shallow.
I think he'll... If he wins tonight, which I think he will, by the way... I think he'll show himself worthy of a cute girl, that's all. That's
he
all
already is worthy of a cute girl. He already is.
Can
He's
I
an
ask
adorable
you
man.
Can I ask you something, and I don't mean to be offensive. Are you cute?
Yes, I'm adorable. I'm 5'2",
right,
115 pounds.
Why don't I believe you?
Why wouldn't you believe her?
Yeah, why wouldn't I? Don't care.
Well,
you can look at my driver's license.
I think it's difficult for a cute girl.
Look, Margaret.
I am 5'2", 115 pounds with blue eyes and brown hair. I'm a very attractive young 22-year-old
girl.
All right.
Okay. Let's all bite. I'll call your bluff. Let's say you're cute.
I am.
And you get intimate with Ruben. And you can't, and he cuts off your wind. Now what are you saying?
All right.
I'm saying is that you're being a bitch.
Why am I being a bitch when I...
What do you mean he cuts off her wind?
I know!
Phil,
what are you? What planet are you from?
Young lady,
I... People have sex all the time, I'm sure of it.
Well, I'm not. And I don't know how you could be.
Okay.
Margaret...
You're right, so people don't have sex, apparently.
Well,
I don't know how they procreate, then. But they're not having sex because they kill their partners during sex,
well, first
right?
of all, no. First of all, when they're born, they're not fat. They get fat. And that's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know what you're saying. I think what you're
Neither
saying...
Neither do I.
You're insulting this man.
Phil, I don't want to come out and say that he can't get a cute girl when he's not got money. But you know as well as I do that's true.
I don't
it
know.
It is not true. If he's not a bad person, there should be no reason for him to... He takes good care of himself. He represents himself. We're not talking about
my
a
God.
Blob.
What are you talking... He takes care of himself. There isn't a nickel that man hasn't made that hasn't gone directly into the general fund of Jack in the Box. Look at him. Thank you.
You are the rudest, shallowest woman I've ever heard speak.
Do you have a boyfriend?
I just got out of a 3-year relationship.
Because he gained too much weight. I rest my case.
She never said because he gained too much weight.
How about
well,
because he was an abusive asshole, even though he wasn't fat? So I'd rather be with someone that was fat that was not abusive and not mean to me.
Let me tell you why I don't believe you. Because there's a sound that people have when they talk who are overweight. The fat presses against the vocal cords. And it sounds to me like that's what's going on.
What an idiot. What
an
idiot.
You can't get off the fact that I weigh 115
pounds.
I'm 5'2".
Well, honey, I'm 53 years of age, and I'm not much better.
And you sound like it. You sound like an ugly, mean woman that has a lot of money.
I'm not much more than 100. Let me tell you a story, all right? Since
you're
young,
I want to know really. Whether you're fat or not doesn't make you attractive either. It's how you present yourself.
If you want to be,
you can be fat or skinny and represent yourself in an ugly manner, or you could be fat and skinny and represent yourself in an attractive manner.
That is so true. See the movie Shallow Hal.
What?
Exactly.
Go see that flick. That flick, Shallow Hal. Go see that.
What is
if
that?
If you look at people for
Jack
who they
Black,
are instead of exactly what they look
right.
like.
Jack Black, who the hell
is... Jack Black is a funny cat. He did a movie called Shallow Hal about this guy who sees the inner spirit of the women that he sees, and they're all beautiful, even though they're all, like, fat.
I guess
whatever.
What this woman is saying is valid for short-term relationships,
but
if you're looking for a long-term partner, no matter how much money they have to have a lot more on the inside than
what they have
on the outside.
I think, Anna, in your case, you've got a thing for fat guys. You're what we call a pork vacuum. They do exist. But you're very rare.
A thing for fat guys, huh?
Yes, there are women like that.
Well, I've never dated a fat guy, but if a guy's got a great personality, I wouldn't look past it, because you can be attractive even if you are overweight. Ruben is a good example of a man that's attractive
Anna,
even though he's heavy.
Do you know what you look like to me with your zipper dress and your bad shoes? You look like a Rube, a well-scrubbed hustling Rube. Good nutrition's given you length of bone, but you're not too much far removed from one generation of poor white trash. And oh, how the boys found you with all their sticky fumblings in the back seats, and all you could dream about was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way.
What are you talking about?
She's screwy. She's metal. She's
Does
freaking...
Does she have a couple screws loose? Because I have no idea what she's even talking about.
You're not in the FBI, are you? Good Lord.
I wish.
Yeah. Anyway, Anna, thank you.
Yes, well, I'm just very scared that there's a woman, especially a woman of her age out there that thinks this way and thinks
she needs to talk about it
all the time. It's really sick.
Listen, Anna, thank you. Made some great points, and thank you for calling.
Yep, thank you.
Fly away, little Clarice, all the way back to the academy.
1-800-449-8686. Ruben, if he wins tonight, he's going to have a whole new life. Is it true that now he'll be worthy of a cute girl? Are we that shallow to believe that now Ruben, a very overweight guy, who probably, maybe he didn't get the best-looking women in his previous life, after winning American Idol, having money and a recording contract, does that mean now all the cute girls can come out of their apartments and apply to be his girlfriend? And is that right? Margaret Gray thinks there's nothing wrong with it, and I think that's shallow. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Controlled by the International Jewish Media Conspiracy. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Margaret Gray from the Nidley Syndicate is with us. She is a syndicated newspaper writer. We'll be at the American Idol Awards ceremony tonight. We'll be interviewing the principals and is going to file a story on that. And your angle is very unusual, and I think some people have taken some offense. You're saying because Ruben is a big fat man, it's likely that he's never had intimate sex with a woman before. Now he'll have the opportunity, and you seem to think that you're doing him a favor, or this is a good thing.
Phil, America has voted, and they voted for Ruben because America wants to give. They want to give a big man, you know, a big caramelized Alabama man, a chance for sexual happiness. And I think that...
You really believe that Americans voted for him for that?
I think they like him, they like his music, they like his personality, they want him to be happy. I'm saying, why can't one of your female listeners be the one to make him sexually happy? And yes, all right, if Ruben wants to buy her a gift, so what? You call that gold digging?
I certainly do.
I call that accepting graciously a gift from a man who for the first time has been intimate with a cute girl. I'm not saying he's never had sex, but I'm saying the women that he's had sex with have been as big as him, this is a chance for something sweet.
All right, 1-800.
Phil, I want to tell you a story.
Well, let me get to a phone call here, and then...
But this is a story that I think will prove my point.
All right, let me get to a phone call, and we'll hear the story. 1-800-449-8686. So Ruben, because he's fat, has never had sex. After he wins American Idol, maybe you'll be the lucky woman who will make him happy sexually. Here's Becky. Becky, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
First of all, my comment is I think you have done lost your mind saying what you are saying about this man.
Well,
Ruben Studdard can sing. That's what everybody's looking at.
Yes, he can sing.
Because of his weight. He's not winning because of his weight. He's winning because he can sing.
The man can't climb 3 stairs without sitting down for a lunch break.
There's more than just him in the world that has a weight problem.
Well,
that has
his weight. He's the only one in the world.
There's many people that are already in the public eye and that sing that are overweight.
Oh, really? You know, I happen to work in the entertainment business in Hollywood. Who are you talking about?
Okay. Do you know who Fat Joe is?
I beg your pardon?
Fat Joe. He's a rapper. He is a famous rapper. He does duets with Ashanti.
I know who Fat Joe is.
Patti LaBelle is overweight.
Nobody knows
Fat
Joe. Luther
Vandross is overweight.
Darling, if Fat Joe were dead, he couldn't attract a female fly. I've known Fat Joe for years. Patti LaBelle is frightening looking. I don't think she's been with a man in 20 years.
Okay, you know what?
Oh, come on.
It's not about their weight.
What about Queen Latifah?
What about
Latifah?
Queen Latifah's big.
Look, let me ask you, do you know who Bob's Big Boy is?
Who?
Do you know who Bob's Big Boy is?
Bob's Big Boy.
Yes.
Okay, look, if you're not from... The Bob's Big Boy is a big statue out in front of a restaurant called Bob's.
All right.
No, I don't know that.
That's the only thing on earth that could relate to Ruben in any...
Oh, come on with the jokes already.
I'm simply saying...
Not a man that can sing, not a man that's fat,
well, I think
or
it's really
a man
funny,
that
everyone is thin. You've all turned this into a negative. I'm saying I hope he wins... And I'm saying that if I were a young lady, I'd be down at the backstage door of that theater tonight, and I would do everything I could to get into that limousine with him.
A groupie.
I beg your pardon?
Exactly, a groupie.
You'd be a groupie.
No, I would not be. I would be offering him my body because
he's... As a groupie.
No, it isn't.
As a groupie, you're not offering yourself as a person, as an intellect person, to get to know this man. You're offering him your body.
Darling, there isn't a man at 11 o'clock at night that's interested in your intellect. He's in a limousine, he has a bottle of scotch, and there's only 2 things he's interested in, and he wants both of them pressed into his face. And you can laugh all you want.
All right, we don't want to get graphic, okay?
Well, she's laughing. At 11 o'clock at night, that's...
Absurd. You are out your mind.
You know, I really don't think you've been up with too many men, if you don't know that that's real fact.
Out of your mind.
Yeah, 11 o'clock at night, all a man cares about are 3 things, and he wants all of them sitting on his...
Okay.
Those are groupies. You're a groupie then.
All right, Becky, thank you very much.
Becky, if you lived in California, you'd be on your knees at the Kodak Theater with nothing but a tube top and a...
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. I don't know what to say to you. I can only go to Kenny here, and then we have to take a break. Kenny, go ahead.
Yeah, hi.
Well, there isn't anything.
I just want to say, Ms. I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but you are the biggest boob that I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, on one hand, you're saying that it's all about love. Whatever happened to love? And then you're saying you'd be on your knees in the stands, wearing a tube top and stiletto heels, and, oh, if I remember this correctly, a leopard skin skirt? I mean,
well, I'm sorry.
How to get dressed up?
I know in your...
Heidi Fly School for Girls?
I know in your interior design business that doesn't make too much sense, but
I'm a broker, you jerk.
What are you talking about?
Well, you sound gay. You really do. listen to him. It's all, leopard skin skirt.
Okay.
Listen, first of all, you're assuming that you know something about the nation and what they want.
America
voted for this guy because he can sing, because he's got talent. You think that America is loving and generous enough to the entertainers?
You're wrong.
To actually give
America
them a heads up
personality.
So the guy can get laid.
Personality is what they vote for, not just singing, but the entire package. You look at that big, fat, sweating mess, and the first thing you want is for him to get a shower and get laid, yes.
No, that's not what I think.
You know, the only reason why you remember my outfit is because you just took the same thing off.
I just what?
You snooze, you lose.
What do you mean he just took the same thing off?
Well, say!
Oh, you're calling the guy light, huh?
Jesus.
You just picked that up?
All right, American Idol on tonight. Ruben. Margaret, you're predicting his win.
Absolutely. Ruben will win, and within about a half hour after he leaves the stage, he'll be in a limousine, and all you'll see will be four leather-clad young women's asses up in the...
Okay! I don't need continuous commentary on what's happening. Will you kill that music?
What an ass.
Just took the same thing off. All right, 1-800-449-8686. There's Margaret. Margaret Gray from Nidley Syndicate, and she is going to be covering tonight's American Idol. You think Ruben's going to win? You think Clay will win? I think Barbara's going to win. Oh, yeah, there's no Barbara. All right. 1-800-449-8686. How come it's just two guys? I thought they had to have a woman in there. Like, I know how this stuff works because I have worked in the entertainment business for 30 years. There is no such thing as really taking your request on a radio station, for instance. They will not play your request unless it's on the playlist. You understand that, right? They're not going to let somebody win that isn't in the very best interests of the Fox television network. Don't you understand how this game is played? All right, I'll explain it to you when we come back. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're all adults, so we all know how it works, but we forget sometimes. Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves. And I know I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but maybe you forgot. You forgot that American Idol is on a TV network called Fox, and Fox is not going to let anything happen on any of their TV shows that makes them look bad or is bad for them. That's why American Idol is fixed. I'm not saying fixed in any mean-spirited way. I'm not saying fixed as in the mob somehow has control over the producing process of it. I'm simply saying that if you honestly believe that people calling in is all that decides who the winner of that show is, then you don't understand the nature of the television business. And the nature of the television business at the bottom line is to put the very best product on the air. And what is the best product? Well, the best product is whatever gets the most audience. And why do they want that? So that the advertiser gets more bang for his buck. When an advertiser says, I will pay for airtime on the American Idol show, he's being promised a certain amount of audience that's going to see his message. And they got to deliver that audience. Otherwise, the advertiser takes his money and he goes someplace else. And anything that goes on that network that would reflect badly or otherwise slow down or weaken programming in general on the Fox TV network, they're not going to let on the air. So I guarantee you that Ruben wins. Why? Well, let's just say that he represents something very positive. If Fox picks him as the winner, which I believe they will, because he represents something very positive. And I'm not going to, discuss what that is. You probably already know what I'm thinking, but I ain't going to say it. Because actually, I got a two or three reasons why I think the guy's a good win for Fox. He will win. No doubt in my mind, if Ruben doesn't win, I'll eat the LA Times calendar section on the air here tomorrow. Now, if you don't know what the LA Times calendar section is, it's a fairly substantial, thick, large booklet that goes into the Sunday section. Because, frankly, the only thing good for the LA Times that you can do with it is eat it. Nah, I'm just kidding. It's okay. I mean, the sports page is so-so. The calendar section's good, and I like to find out, you know, the boat sales and stuff. Other than that, it's, you know, the cat box. But Ruben wins, and he wins because it's what Fox wants. Not what you want. It's what Fox wants. They don't care what you want as long as it makes them look good. Look, it's about the audience. It ain't about the schmucks that are calling in voting for Ruben. Believe me. People that call in, they're a whole different group of people from the average guy. Are you really going to call in? Of course not. Am I? No, I'm not going to call in. I'm going to sit and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to watch Ruben win. Jeez, I really do have to eat the LA Times calendar section, huh? I'm pretty sure he's going to win. I'm, you know, I'm 50%. Let's say that he's got an outside chance. You know what? He ain't got a snowball's chance in hell. It's Clay all the way. Clay all the way from Raleigh, North Carolina. No, I just, you know what I'm talking about, right? And God, think about the guys that started Star Search. They've just brought it back. Too late, guys. Too late. Star Search. All those years, Dick Clark and Ed McMahon, they plowed away, they tilled the soil, they fertilized the ground. Star Search, week in, week out, Ed McMahon standing there, some tap dancing kid, whoever. And now, you know, then finally the audience goes, this blows, and they get that the hell out of there. And what do you see next? American Idol. And the guys at Star Search are still sitting there scratching their rear end on a bar stool someplace going, where did we go wrong? Still scratching their butt on a bar stool, saying, give me one more rusty nail, and telling anybody that'll listen, I used to be the producer of Star Search. And everybody's going, yeah, that's real great. Okay, Eddie, see you tomorrow morning. Yeah. When are you opening tomorrow, man? 9 a.m. Yeah, I'm going to need the drink. God, how'd you like to be the guy? And what about that show now, America's Most Talented Kid? What are they? Do they really want me to quit my job, shave my head into a mohawk, cut the eyes out of pictures of Kate Smith, and start stalking people? Is that what they want? Because that's what you're going to get with America's Most Talented Kid. If you haven't gotten the message yet listening to this program, if there's one thing that I can't stand, it's somebody's cute kid. I love my kids, and I love kids on an individual basis because they're a gas, you know. But a little kid that's five and doing that, that's why that show, have you seen that Oliver Bean? Boy, I did. I took out a 45 and I destroyed one television set. Just two shots right into the tube. When I saw that kid for the first night doing a Lenny Bruce stand-up shtick, like kids really did that, you know. Has nothing to do with anything in the world. And I saw that kid, and I wanted to fashion a noose, tie it to the bumper of a truck. Well, you get the general picture. Am I being particularly violent today? Well, why not? We're under orange alert. I think that American Idol is good. It's going to be Ruben, and if it ain't, you can kiss my you know what on Main Street. That guy is in, because that's what it's all about. Now, Star Search is back. What's the other show? See, I don't dig talent shows. That's the whole problem with me. That's just the person. I don't like talent shows. I didn't like that Ted Max original amateur hour when I was like three. That was on Sunday nights. That drove me nuts. Now, I didn't mind the Gong Show, and I thought $1.39 beauty pageant, that was a riot because it was supposed to be funny, right? But Star Search, all those shows, they were like on Saturday night at 5:30. You know, it's Star Search with Ed McMahon. I just, for some reason, the idea of a guy in a sequin dance suit comes to mind. Am I right or am I wrong? Did a lot of that happen on Star Search? Guys with sequins and the whole poof 1982's haircut. And he'd come out and he'd do that whole Vegas thing. And then Ed would be in the wings, standing there all husky and bloated with a nice looking suit, nice, you know, tie, a microphone sort of just frozen there. Off stage somewhere, a couple of long neck bottles of Bud that have been drained real quickly. Come on, two more. Okay, Ed, you ready? I'm fine. How about that Are You Hot? That was a great show. To me, that was the best, and it's off the air. Temptation Island, the best, and it's off the air. And that Watusi and that husband, I'll never get over them. Oh, Itasi? Well, whatever. How about All American Girl? How about The Bachelorette? How about The Bachelor? How about The Single Guy? How about the married guy? How about the all-American affair? How about the $25,000 affair? Because that's what they say the average affair is going to cost your ass. What do you think about that? How about Mr. Personality? That was a good show. I want to do a show, Can You Get Away With It? All right. Did you ever see Monty Python's Blackmail? where they would show a film of a guy going up into a whorehouse, and they pan in closer and closer until you're gonna see the guy's face, and you have like 5 minutes to call, but the longer you wait, the more the money goes up. So this guy is waiting to call. It's like 5 minutes into it, it's like up to $1,000. All right, Mr. Yamas, good idea you called, right? That's what I want to put, something like that on the air. That I'd watch. But I don't like the idea of this, like an affair show where a guy, you know, meets a girl every weekend, cheating on his wife. How long can he live? That's the name of it. How long can he live? Dun, 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 dun. I'm Ed McMahon. How long will this schmuck get away with it? Here is Mr. Bob Prouty. He lives in Pompano Beach, Florida, and he's been seeing a hairstylist. Her name is Jersey. That's some kind of a white trash name. And they've been seeing each other now for about 3 weeks. Bob's wife is in the real estate business. She works in the same office with him. So when he says he's going out, he says it's usually to show a house, but it's really to meet Jersey at the Flotsam and Jetsam Motel here in Cocoa Beach. She gets off at about 2. She's done doing the nails of some broad out of Orlando. We don't know. Well, let's just see what's going on there in the motel room right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we'll be back next week to see how long will he live. Jesus.
I'm Ryan Seacrest, coming up.
God, is his career taken off? Good for you, Ryan. He did it, man. He did it. He absolutely did it. He got his nose up out of the sewage of radio, and now he's a TV star. Such as it is. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back after these short, short, brief announcements.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Two women have been arrested. Actually, an arrest warrant for one, and one woman has been arrested along with her son. They were the people that bought the booze for the teenagers in the Chicago hazing story. Remember that one? Well, that was the only part of that story that was of any interest to me whatsoever. And I didn't see anything about it day in and day out. They want to talk about this hazing and what a shocking thing it was to see these kids with the poo that they were smearing on each other, whatever the hell they were doing, I don't even know, and they were drinking beer, doing keg stands, etc. But I didn't care. I thought it was boring. I wanted to find out what adult gave them the booze, because I'm not, you know, about, look at our young people, they're running wild. Yeah, they're running wild. You want to know why they're running wild? If they're running wild, and I ain't even saying they are, it's because some dumbass adult is behind it. 9 times out of 10, find a kid that's doing something wrong, and some dumbass of an adult has been enabling it, promoting it, funding it, fueling it, digging it, grooving on a Sunday afternoon with it. And that's exactly what happened in Chicago. Christine Neal, age 49, she purchased 3 of the kegs at a Glenview liquor store. 2 of those kegs allegedly ended up at the May 4th hazing in a Cook County Forest Preserve near Northbrook, and one went to the home of the parent of a Glenbrook North Jr., and that home was Marcy Spiewak, and she lives in Northbrook. Now, the third person arrested was this Christine Neal's son, Dominic Vargas, charged with unlawful possession of alcohol by a minor. He secured and delivered the beer to the Forest Preserve and the home. He's the guy that took the beer from the house, from the home, and, from his mom's house, and took it over to where these girls were having a powder puff game, and took it over to another house. So he got popped along with his mother. And don't be telling me about how she didn't know. She bought 3 kegs, and she usually buys 3 kegs. And for some reason, Dominic took 2 of them and gave them to some teenagers. Oh, my word. Yeah, right. Okay, Christine. What, do you buy the 3 keggers for what? The cookie exchange that you have every week? I bet you have yourself, what, you all get together for a coffee clutch and a keg party. When's the last time you saw, I'd love that, man. What's the last 49-year-old neighborhood woman buying 3 keggers? Except for my wife, which is none of anybody's business. And my wife ain't 49 either. Yeah, they're going to have an arts and crafts party, and everybody's coming over, and there's three keggers. That's what I found interesting about the story, that's all. And they finally popped them, and so there you go. Justice has been served. Good. 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 And this woman, this Spiewak, they can't find her. They've sent out an arrest warrant. Boy, I bet you she'll turn her short 16 different shades of purple, man, when they finally shove that thing in her face. Hey, guess what? You know your brat that was out there sucking down the hooch? Yeah. Well, you're under arrest for it. I dig it. I love it. I love it when suburban America gets its comeuppance every now and again, okay? And I'm a part of suburban America. I'm a child of suburban America. But I can't stand what I grew up around, which is the assumption that all of the crime, and really all the decrepit and debauched crime, is committed someplace else, in a poorer neck of the woods, a poorer neighborhood, in an ethnic neighborhood, or there's nothing going on around here, and these good, God-loving, clean-scrubbed, well-lubed people... It ain't a big thing, you're right, it's no big thing. Like 15 kids got popped and a couple of them went to the hospital, so maybe it ain't no big thing, but it's big enough. Freaking misdemeanor bust. Now, it's going to go off their record at 18, but still, I think it's a pretty good hassle to put somebody through. And for some reason, it went all around the world, that videotape, and the thing that bugs me most about it is that video, when they say it goes all around the world, does that mean it went into, like, Chechnya and Latvia, places like that, and Afghanistan? See, that makes us look like a bunch of clods. That makes us look like the biggest pack of powder puff, scent-sniffing, pound-cake-dunking jackasses the world has ever seen. Oh, there they go. They're the Americans. Look at their kids sucking down the kegger. Boy, I'd love to have that right now. There's a guy on a camel somewhere in Afghanistan, some Taliban dude. No wonder he's pissed off. They got 13-year-old girls drinking some of the finest homebrew ever, and those guys are out there, you know, they're having it's camel urine as far as they're concerned. What are we going to do? Not again with the camel pee. I can't do it again, okay? There's no water, man. Well, I ain't drinking that. Hey, look at this. What? It's from America. What? This 13-year-old girls are drinking freaking Bud Light. They're drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon. What is this?
Well, it's America, man. That's why we want to blow it up.
Damn right. Blow it up? What the hell you want to blow it up for, man? I want to go over there and get some of that. Can we take that bush tour?
All right, as soon as we get into Kabul.
All right. That's all Bin Laden wanted. He wanted to take the Busch Gardens tour. Nobody had let him, so now he's so pissed he wants to fly a plane into the Budweiser brewery. Yeah, fine with me, Bin. Just don't be touching Heineken anytime soon, if you don't mind. Suspects have been charged with a Class A... And dig the cop. Dig what the cop said. I love this. The cop said, hey, let me tell you something. We're not laying off of anybody. We haven't pulled back or scaled back the charges for any reason. I can assure the public this is a serious matter that's being treated seriously, and the charges we have brought are based on the evidence we have. We have not pulled back or scaled back the charges for any reason. Today's criminal complaints follow those announced last week. 15 Glenbrook students were charged with misdemeanor battery. You're going to get the kids in trouble. There better be damn sure be a parent in trouble over there somewhere. You're going to put 15 kids with a misdemeanor rap? Goes off the record at 18, but what's that between friends? Drag those parents in. In fact, they ought to drop the charges against the kids and have the parents stay in the freaking Bastille for a few days. Separately, in civil proceedings resulting from and then that kid sued, whatever, the judge told that kid and their parents to take that lawsuit and park it. He don't even want to see it. I'm going to sue because I can't graduate. You weren't going to graduate anyway. You flunked boiling water in home economics. What the hell, you think you were going to get a diploma? The DA said no plea negotiations have been attempted with the suspects. Whatever, that, you know, why would you want to? But he's saying that to make a point, and I like the point that he's making. This is serious. This isn't some fun little thing that happened, okay? Ms. Neal. And by the way, her name's Christine Neal, and the kid's name is Dominic Vargas. And I ain't saying that women who have divorced their husbands and remarried, I ain't saying that they're bad people. But where's this kid's old man? Okay, anyway, there you have it. Justice is served in Northbrook. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. By the way, I did the voice of Margaret in that last bit last hour. I usually like to disclaim it, and I forgot to, just in case anybody thinks that there is someone out there as batty as that. you know, and you don't want to, I don't know, sue the radio station you're listening to right now. There clearly might be, but that ain't it. That was me making up a voice. Our souvenir shop open at philhenryshow.com. Among the many things you can find in the souvenir shop, our best of CD. And the money from the sale of World Famous, the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002, goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and throwaway kids in Hollywood. And we have raised over $100,000 thanks to you guys, your generosity. Every year, you guys come through and you're not... And, oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you, maybe I shouldn't announce this, but we do want to do a personal appearance in Atlanta soon because we're going to be part of a clinic, a broadcast clinic that is happening in Atlanta. And I wanted to get out and see the listeners there. But what we want to do is have a CD signing in Atlanta. So we may get a fair amount of change from our friends in Atlanta when we do that. But in any event, pick up the CD or anything else in our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. Coming up, we'll be talking about how much an affair is going to cost you. More from the French. A little more from Bin Laden. A lot more from Erica's. What's her name? Annika? Erica? Annika Sore what? I got a sore stand. Okay. Annika Sorstam, and Jason Blair. What a funny man he is. Coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
I just found out today the Anaheim Ducks are in the Stanley Cup Final. That's how much we care here in the Southern California area about hockey. I just found out today that the Anaheim Mighty Ducks are in the Stanley Cup Final. And then I heard this. I thought I was going to drive my car off the road. I thought this was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Janice, first of all, just told me that she heard the announcement on the radio, plenty of seats available for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Plenty of seats available. If we were up there in Moose Jaw right now, I'd have an ice pick in my back from a freaking Eskimo trying to get tickets. You wouldn't be able to get tickets. Anywhere else but Southern California. But that's neither here nor there. Then I heard this. Guy comes on and says, and at the Los Cerritos Mall, I think was the name of it, and I remember that when you said it, Janice, the Stanley Cup will be on display today for you to come and see it. Do you know what that's going to... Cerritos? Do you know what that's going to be like? A couple of strawberry farmers are going to be walking by going, now, see, we can put that on the coffee table. Look at that. They're going to think it's for sale. The guy's going to say, how much for that tin can piece of crap? Okay, I'll take it off your hands for $5. It's the Stanley Cup. Whatever, how much? You know, well, it's not, you can't sell it. It's really, like, important. About what? About hockey. Oh, holy Jesus. You know, the guy will walk away. Guaranteed, I'm guaranteeing this, there's going to be cigar ash in it by 10 o'clock tonight. By 10 o'clock tonight, there'll be an apple core, a Mounds wrapper, and cigar ash in it. The Stanley Cup's on display in Cerritos. Some guy down there, just off his job at the tow truck, going to go, huh, and flick a camel butt into the thing. Poor Ducks. Hey, Disney, get out of the sports business, number one. Get out of the talk radio business, number two. Do something about the amusement parks that you already have. Make a couple of more good cartoon movies. And quit bothering us. Get out of the sports business. Now, they sold the Angels to that gentleman from wherever the hell that's Mexican-American guy. So, and the guy's from Mexico. I don't know about ownership anymore. I don't know what it represents, but it sounds like it probably ought to be good. But they really ought to get rid of the Ducks. And if the Ducks win, then they're going to be worth a pretty penny. But not $25,000, which segues us into what I really wanted to talk about. But I'm sorry, it came to my mind, the Ducks in the Stanley. I'm driving around, and I hear the guy say, now, Ottawa and New Jersey are in... That's like me not knowing who's in the... You know, for me to not know that would be like somebody telling me from Canada they don't know who's in the Super Bowl and they don't care, right? I'd say, how could you not? But then I would understand they're from Canada. So I'm sure they understand when some stupid yank goes, is the Stanley Cup for tennis? You got to get that Stanley Cup out of here, Canada. You got to take it back where it belongs in Canada, because it's right now it's down in the Cerritos Mall, and you don't know what that represents. There's going to be a baby diaper and a cigar butt in that thing come sundown. There's some lady in a red blazer with the little tight blue skirt. She's got the hair pinned up, and she was hired by the Cerritos Mall. She's one of the senior citizens on patrol or something, and she's in charge of protecting it. And somebody's going to wander by with a Ben & Jerry's and a yogurt cup. He's going to have on the fat pants and, you know, the Val Surf shirt and something about, you know, like, you know, the wedge shreds on the back of his T-shirt and go, "What's that?"
"It's the Stanley Cup. It's the representation of the National Hockey League."
"Really?" And then he's going to walk away and try to do a jump shot with his Wendy's cup right into it. I hope it's in glass. Do they encase it in glass? They're going to have some kind of... Yeah, otherwise some guy's going to walk by and think, "Can I put my yogurt cup here?" "Is it... No, you idiot. It's the Stanley Cup." "Oh, I'm sorry." You know, you walk by like a planter in a mall, and there's, you know, like, looks like somebody just watered, you know, tomato or orange peels are in it or something. You know, and cigars and cigarettes and stuff like that. It's going to be in the Stanley Cup. Come on down and see the Stanley Cup. I bet you they're around a block for that one. I wouldn't go across the street to see the Lombardi Trophy, and I'm a huge football fan. What do I care? The Lombardi Trophy, they're a dime a dozen. They give them out to every team that wins one. Now, the Stanley Cup's different because they put a... whatever. I'm just warning you, get it out of the Cerritos Mall, or you're going to find, like, Taco Bell wrappers and crap crammed into it, and somebody's going to take it. They're going to take it home and use it as a planter for a palm tree, not knowing what the hell it is. Some guy's going to be walking out to the parking lot with that under his... Whoa! What? Where are you going? I just bought it. You didn't buy that. You bought that Potter over there. I didn't sell you that. Well, what do you care? It's some rusted out piece of crap can. No, it's the Stanley Cup. You got to bring it. Oh, well, whatever. Where's the thing I bought then? What does this mean here, Gordie Howe? What the? Who the hell? Nice cocktail party, Ed. Hey, like those new palms you got. Those are the Queen palms? Yeah. Who the hell is Boom Boom Joffrey? I don't. What is that all about? I don't know. It's just something. I think it's an Indian thing or something. Oh, really? Yeah, it's a tribal deal. And the Montreal Jackasses? What? I don't know. What in the hell is this, Bill? What is this? I don't know. I bought it over here at the thing. Well, it's something screwy about it. It's got names all over it. You know what this is? What? I think it's the thing they give you at the U.S. Open. Now I can't talk about the $25,000 affair, because that big fat mouth got into the Anaheim's mighty... Well, it starts with a D and ends with a K. Hey, let me tell you about this. The Phil Henry Show website, our souvenir shop, has all kinds of things, but we are going to be fashioning, hopefully, very soon, a keychain that has been licensed by R.C. Collins, the young man who is the student at the Bradley Military Academy. And this is going to be the official R.C. Collins Blows-A-Meter keychain. Now, we think this is a fantastic thing, because all you have to do is push the button and you'll hear R.C. Collins, you know, judge something on the Blows-A-Meter. And one of the great things about this is, for instance, an athlete. We're just talking about the Stanley Cup. If an athlete is asked a stupid question by Stu Lance, like he asked, say he asks... Shaquille O'Neal. "So, Shaq, how'd you like losing to the Spurs in 6 games?" Shaq can take out his R.C. Collins Blows-A-Meter keychain, hit a button, and...
"On the R.C. Collins Blows-A-Meter? Broccoli!"
See, he doesn't have to answer Stu's stupid question. He can just push the old R.C. Collins Blows-A-Meter. Let's say, for instance, Jay Leno asks another dumb question. Say he had Hugh Grant on there, right? And Jay says, "So, you like being on our show?" And
he can say, "R.C. Collins blows a meter?" "Yep, bean dip."
That's what he thinks. And so he can just pull out the keychain and say it.
"So, here's a monologue for tonight. And how'd you like that choke?" "On the R.C. Collins blows a meter?" "Egg salad."
So what we're going to do is get the R.C. Collins Blows-A-Meter keychain We're going to get this thing going. Now, what did Debbie say? She said it may cost too much to make? No. We can get a pre-order on this thing of 500 right away. Right away. My listeners would go for 500 of these without even breaking a sweat. Five would sell 500 of those things, like, within a day, right? So, and only be, you know, if we can keep the cost down on them. So, forget about the cost, Debbie. Don't worry about it. I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. They have to put a little computer chip in there. Well, you guys don't need to know all of this stuff. It's just a lot of, this is just mom and dad talking. Don't worry. It'll be coming up in our souvenir shop, the Phil Henry Show souvenir shop on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. One other big announcement. Monday, Memorial Day. Don't miss the Phil Henry Show. Whatever you do, it will be our annual Lloyd Bonafide Memorial Day Marathon. 3 solid hours of Korean War veteran Lloyd Bonafide talking about a variety of experiences that he has had breaking people's faces open because they said something bad about the Korean War veterans. Lloyd will be on with his excellent, excellent show about the lady who bought hot dogs on Memorial Day, and he was so outraged that she was having a barbecue on such a hallowed day, he went out to his car, got a hot dog bun and some mustard, and showed her a hot dog that she'd never forget. Also, Don't Look a Vet in the Eye, He May Rip Your Windpipe Out is another great hour. And then, of course, the hour in which Lloyd was raising money for the widows of war veterans by doing his annual Elvis impersonation at the mall. Some kid came by and laughed at him, and Lloyd, in his Elvis wig, broke his guitar over the kid's head. It's all coming up Monday on the Lloyd Bonafide Marathon right here on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
They got a British colonel, a British Army colonel, and they're accusing him of war crimes. This is the latest. A colonel in the British Army, he's in the Royal Irish Regiment, is being accused of war crimes. And his crimes are that he pistol-whipped one Iraqi civic leader. He shot the tires out of some vehicles when they were apparently no threat to British or American lives. He fired at the ground near the feet of Iraqi civilians to intimidate them. He threatened local townspeople to force them to obey his demands. By the same token, he also gave this speech to his men as the war in Iraq commenced, and it's something that is actually hanging on the wall in the White House. And he says, if someone surrenders to you, then remember that they have the right to international law and assure them that one day they go home to their family. If you harm the regiment or its history by overenthusiasm in killing or in cowardice, know it is your family who will suffer. You'll be shunned unless your conduct is of the highest. And this guy's name is Colonel Tim Collins. He's a lieutenant colonel in the British Army. He's 43 years of age. And this kind of thing's been going on since the war ended. In Belgium, there's a lawyer who accused General Tommy Franks of war crimes. Now, why is this happening? The reason why it's happening is, A, these people don't really know what a true war crime is. Because even in international law, there's a thing called the spirit as well as the letter of the law. But more importantly, you got to understand that this kind of harassment's been going on because these guys still can't get into their heads. They lost. The anti-war or anti-Iraq war movement and lobby lost big. Lost huge. And they were also exposed for what they are, a bunch of petite bourgeois, yuppie, hippie wannabes that want to bring this stuff. They are so desperate to somehow show themselves to be victorious on some level that they're calling Tommy Franks a war criminal. And this British officer, who in my opinion, this guy sounds fantastic. Fantastic. Let me tell you why. First of all, the British were in Basra. You guys may remember Basra. The place was a utter madhouse. It was an utter madhouse. They had Fedayeen firing on their own people, meaning Iraqi civilians. They were trying to get in there and clear the Fedayeen out and at the same time know which one was Fedayeen and which one was an Iraqi civilian. They were also trying to protect the lives of the fleeing Iraqis who were leaving Basra. And through all of that mess, trying to obviously coordinate their operations and keep these parties separate and keep the adrenaline at a regulated level so that they're not overreacting or doing anything that's going to get them killed or an innocent person killed. This is the reality of a soldier in combat. And in that situation, in Basra especially, and especially the Iraq War, a war that was conducted in the most humane manner possible toward civilian life, it must have been an impossible task. Now listen what the so-called, and by the way, this is an insult to anybody that ever really prosecuted a war crime. This is an absolute insult to anybody who ever really brought war criminals to justice. This kind of chicken crap that the people who, you know, our petite bourgeois, yuppie anti-war people out there who just can't bring themselves to suck on the fact that they were so wrong about the Iraq War, so desperately wrong in everything that they said, so wrong about the repercussions, so wrong about the causes, so wrong about what was going to happen to the civilians. I mean, there's websites I'm looking at on the internet that show gleefully pictures of dead Iraqi children. Gleefully. And they claim to have sympathy for the Iraqi people. Let me tell you about any website that has pictures of Iraqi, dead Iraqi children on it. The guy that administers that website, the guy that enables that administer, they love seeing those dead kids because it makes them feel like they were right about the war. Well, with all the pictures that you guys can grub up of dead Iraqi kids, all the pictures you guys trade in, all the pictures that you guys buy, all the pictures that you guys go scrounging around the internet for, all of them together don't amount to anything in the face of a war like none other in history that endeavored to protect civilians like no other war in history did, like no other army or military in history did. Civilians in the Iraqi war had it better than just about any other civilian populace that has regrettably been subjected to warfare. And let me ask you another question, as long as we're on the dead kid subject. You know, German children died in World War II. Anybody know that? Few people conveniently forget that? In other words, so what are you saying? We shouldn't have fought Hitler because German kids were going to die? Or is there a time when it's okay for kids to die if we're fighting Hitler but not Saddam Hussein? Is that what you're saying? Huh? How about if I start posting pictures of dead German babies? Kids. They weren't Nazis. Well, why don't we start doing that? Or is that going to be an empowerment and an enablement of the argument that war in general is bad? In World War II, the bombing of civilian population centers was a standard procedure of militaries. They didn't have the precision weapons that we have today. They had to bomb in general areas where population was. Now, if you and I were back there in 1944, we would have done the same thing because we would only have the perspective of 1944. We wouldn't have the perspective of 2003. So everybody's sitting around on their thumb talking about how immoral America might have been in bombing, say, Dresden, or in America bombing Hiroshima or Nagasaki. Your argument is so tired, so done, it doesn't even abide the telling. The fact of the matter is, from the perspective of war strategy in the 40s, it was an entirely acceptable and moral thing to do. And I'll tell you something else. Ask any GI from that era, ask any guy that survived that war, do you feel guilty about the fact that, for instance, some American pilots had to drop their bombs over population centers? And he'll say the same thing. Those people in Germany who supported Hitler, who ostracized the Jews, who claim they didn't know about concentration camps but are lying through their teeth, they sealed their fate long before we ever dropped those bombs. A lot of American GIs in World War II looted, too. They took things out of houses. Ask them the question, they'll give you the same answer. You want to know something? After we got a look at the Holocaust survivors, after we saw what the Germans did to displaced people in Holland and in Belgium, we didn't give a crap about taking stuff out of their houses. So now we bring ourselves here to the year 2003, and this chicken crap about some British colonel, he fired his pistol at the feet of the Iraqi civilians. Hey, good thing he did. He probably had a mob on his hand. He probably had a mob scene on his hands. He pistol whipped some Iraqi civic leader. If you got a bunch of people screaming and yelling and going for each other's throats, and there might be some guy standing on a soapbox encouraging it, I'd take the butt of a gun to the guy, too. He shot the tires of vehicles when there was no threat to British or American life. So says who? You may remember that there were threats of ambulances being used as terrorist bombs. There were threats of vehicles, private civilian vehicles, being used as terrorist bombs. This guy's shooting out the tires. He could have shot the driver. What else? Threatening local townspeople to force him to obey his demands. Damn right. What are you going to say? Going to take a vote? And a friend of Colonel Collins, by the way, a friend of Colonel Collins said it was a war. Tim acted robustly, but he is insistent he did everything by the rule book. But because these cats who were against this war can't swallow it, and believe me, you're going to have to, they got to come up with this stuff. They got to dig this crap up. And that one with Tommy Franks being a war criminal. America committed no war crimes in Iraq. I know it disappoints a lot of people. I know it just drives people nuts. It's driving them nuts. It's driving them crazy. We committed no war crimes. Oh, yeah? What do you call shooting unarmed? You know, as I said at the beginning, there's the spirit and there's the letter. Now, your dad or grandfather who served in the Second World War, by that definition, may have committed a war crime. You don't think they shot Germans with their hands up in the air or Japanese with their hands up in the air? Plenty of times. 3 minutes before, the guy was trying to kill them. They did it all the time. You want to try those guys for war crimes? Why don't we get a bunch of 85-year-old guys and try them for war crimes? What kind of bull crap are these people trying to pull anyway? Why don't you people just move on? Just move on. Admit you're wrong. Admit even now the Iraqi people have it better than they ever did under Saddam Hussein. Admit that there is a campaign to put the worst possible face on the American and British administration of Iraq right now. The worst possible. There's looting and there's insanity in Baghdad. And you know something, man? Have you been to Baghdad? And get yourself a ticket to Disney World. I hear there's a 2-for-1 over there at California Adventure. Go get on a freaking roller coaster. Don't bother me. And now we'll be back to more of American Idol. But first, our number is 1-800-449-8686. By the way, I have another phone number. If you don't have a computer and you'd like to order our Best of the Phil Henry Show 2002 CD called World Famous, you can use this phone number. And here it is, 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. All right? And that'll get the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Again, Monday we have Lloyd Bonafide, our Memorial Weekend Marathon. On Monday, our Memorial Day Marathon, I should say. Lloyd Bonafide, our Korean War veteran, with some of his disgusting antics, will be right on our program. Anatomy of an Affair is the title of an article I was reading, and they're trying to break down, if you have an affair, how much it's going to cost you. And as usual, these men's magazines that claim to know what men want or dig, it's like they're written by no guy I know. I mean, I'm trying to be kind here. It's like these shows you see on television, you know, told from the perspective, say, of a man. Who? I wouldn't do that. I saw a TV show once. It was a guy standing at a barbecue, right, with his buddy. This is a TV show. It's a weekly sitcom. And he says, boy, look at that guy. I bet you the women really like him. It was a party. He goes, yeah, look at those eyes. Have you ever known two straight guys to stand there and talk about the attractiveness of another straight guy by saying, look at those eyes? This was written by somebody, by some idiot. Anyway, and I think I know who the idiot is, too. In fact, I had drinks with him last night. I'm kidding. All right. Anyway, here's this guy's idea of if you have an affair, you're going to spend so much money, right? First of all, you're going to spend $600 on flowers every other week. Every other week, six bills after a while, the flowers are going to cost you. You send it to this woman that you're cheating on your wife with. You're going to send, you're going to spend like $400 at Victoria's Secret. You're going to spend lunches and dinners all told over the course of an affair, $3,000. Who's this guy been talking to? First of all, I ain't buying her nothing at Victoria. If I had an affair, if I cheated on my wife, Maria, which I would never do. Oh, God, I just looked up at the TV screen and there's Gloria Allred. Just when I thought I was going to make it through this night with a solid bowel movement, there she is. God. Okay. I got to go. I just looked up and I looked at that phony baloney's kisser. Why isn't she out helping another kid? I thought she cared about a kid getting thrown out of a window. Remember that kid that got chained to a bed? Why doesn't she go help that kid? Now she's helping this Amber Fry. Which is it with you, Gloria? You like the women? I know you're into women, but are you, never mind. You think she is? You know? I do. Okay. First of all, you're not going to be spending three bills on Victoria's Secret. She is. You're not spending $300 on Victoria. You have an affair with a woman. You're going to have to be. First of all, she's fine. You know why women find married men attractive? That ring. They find married men attractive because we're generally taken. And, other than Chris and I. Women don't find us attractive, but all the other married guys, they do. Because we're generally taken. And because you're married, well, he represents a certain level of stability and, safety, because nothing can get too far out of control unless, of course, she falls in love with you, and then you have to have her killed like that guy did in that movie one time. Then the guy says, new perfume. What in the hell are you talking about? I'm not going to put new perfume. You know, you're taking your ass in your hands enough just by having the affair. Now you're going to start running up charges on perfume, Victoria's Secret, flowers, dinners, and a hotel room? You got to think, your readership must have an educational level of a decapitated fly. Security deposit on your new apartment. Yeah, that's going to happen. A dozen condoms, $26 a month. New boxer briefs, 170. And how do we keep all of this from your wife? How do we keep her from finding out? You either got to pay cash for everything, have a business credit card that the bill comes to the office, or use, when it comes to phone calls, a phone card. I mean, you got to go to the wall to try to hide an affair. And I've known some guys that it's happened to. Have you? Oh, I got a friend of mine. It happened to him. It happened to him, man. 20-plus years of marriage had happened to him. This poor bastard, he was suspecting something, and he didn't let on. He kind of just nosed around, you know. He didn't hire a private eye or any crap like that. But he thought he could never lie about it, man. They always find out. And if they don't, maybe they did and they didn't tell you. But he was suspecting it. He nosed around. He found a couple of things, found a couple of notes. And then he confronted both of them. And the guy that was involved looked like he was about to drop a green brick. He just cleared out of the scene, thankful to be walking away with his head on his shoulders, right? Which most guys would. And the wife, he took her and threw her out in the street. Got custody of his kids. And that's how that ends. And boy, is it sad. It's sad, 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 brother. He got custody of those kids. Because that's what happens. They're going to get so pissed, they'll use the kids. And you cheat on a spouse, they'll use those kids, man, and they'll get them from you. And in his case, that's what he did to her. He took her kids away from her. Judge agreed with him. I hate to end this hour on such a bummer, but it's kind of dramatic, don't you think? How about if I just, make it up to you guys with a little bit of this? Just a little something, just to say how much I love you. I'm Ed McMahon, and get out of here, Ed. You're washed up. This ain't no Star Search. This is American Idol. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here at the Phil Henry Show. 1-877-616-PHIL to order the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. All of that money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and throwaway kids in Hollywood, California. All of it. Not a nickel goes to me. None of it goes to the Phil Henry, quote, charities. We're not pocketing any crap. We paid for our production fees, and we're giving the rest to our very, very good, very wonderful, very strong, very proud, very dedicated young volunteers and young people and professionals at my friend's place. They're great people. They're helping kids over there. Thank you for buying the CD.